Hi, everyone. Welcome to the Duluth Rundown, a podcast focused on the local Twin Ports running scene. My name is Tony Stensland with Tony Stensland Coaching.
And I am Mike Ward with Duluth Timing and Events.
All right, quick thank you before we get started to our sponsor of this episode, Austin Jarrow, Duluth's original running store. That's the place to get your running shoes. Great advice from all the people that work up there. Check out their website, austin-jarrow.com. They are also on Facebook and Instagram. Drive on up to their location on Central Entrance, just on the other side of where the Home Depot is, but on the other side of the road. Or give them a call, 218-722-1185. Thanks so much to Austin Jarrow.
All right, welcome everyone back to episode number 90 of the Duluth Rundown podcast. 90 is pretty
cool.
That's a cool number.
90.
Yeah.
It seems like too high.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. And then I was thinking too, like, it's been like 6 years or whatever. Like, that seems too high as well.
I remember when we hit, like, you know, in the 70s, like, we're almost to 100. And that was like a year or two ago.
Right. Remember when we first started, we were doing it like every 2 weeks?
Oh, yeah.
That was a lot.
That was hard.
Yeah, it was actually.
Yeah.
Yeah, this is better. Once a month or so-ish.
Yeah.
Once a month-ish is more doable.
I think we got a great rhythm.
Some of the podcasts that I follow, boy, they don't post until like every 6 months maybe. And so I don't,
first
when we went to once a month, I was kind of feeling a little bit bad. I was But now I've realized that in the podcast world, it's kind of anything goes.
Yeah.
Some of these guys don't send out a podcast anywhere near as often as we do. I don't feel so bad anymore.
We have the control here.
Yeah, totally.
It's
yeah.
Our listeners, you guys can send us money. We'll do more if you want. If you send us money, we'll do more.
It's going to take a lot of money.
It's going to take a lot of money, though. Well, should we hop right into it, Tony?
Yeah.
All right. We got race results coming in from a couple different winter running races. Let's start with the longest one, the Arrowhead 135. Pretty challenging year out there this year. Cold temps.
As it should be. Arrowhead's supposed to be that way.
You don't want to get gypped with that. There were 32 finishers, looks like, in the foot category. The fastest runner was Mark Dowdle. From USA, and he finished in 35 hours, 48 minutes. The runner-up was just under 2 hours back. And then the first female from North Dakota, USA, Angela Friedman, with a 50 hours, 43 minutes. And those times are just mind-boggling. Let's see. Minnesota was first place biker. Sage Seifert, first place female biker, Kate Coward. And then I think there was just one ski finisher. Yeah, one finisher on the ski, Angus Morrison. Let's see. We have more results coming in from kind of close to Duluth, I guess. International Falls is probably closer to Duluth than anywhere else out there. The Freezer Gizzard Blizzard Run. I was out there for the race timing. Tony, it was negative 32 air temp to start.
Nice.
And I was shocked they reduced the 10K to the 5K.
Wow.
I didn't think they would ever do that for cold weather. And they did. And, you know, it was a pretty windless day. It was sunny. It didn't feel that bad, really. In my mind, it was like, this is going to be horrible to like set the mats up and things. And like, it wasn't. So,
yeah, that's kind of a bummer, I guess, in a way, because there could have been some awesome bragging rights to say 10K and 30 below zero.
Right. Whatever. So results were a little different. I know this just because I was there, but they kept the categories separate. So if you were 10K, you only raced against the 10K people on the 5K course.
Okay.
So keep that in mind with these results. From Park Rapids, Minnesota, the first place in the 5K, Grant Helgestad with a 20:34. First place female, Rachel Strobel. With a 27:51, And then in the 10K race, but they only ran 5 kilometers, Daniel Conley took the win there by just under 4 minutes. 19:16 was the winning time. And then the winning 10K female who ran the 5K course, Paige Latta, with a 24:48. So, yeah, very, very cold out there. 18 finishers in the 5K and 72 finishers in the 10K. So, yeah, about 100 total, braving the cold. We have results coming in from the Duluth Winter Trail Running Series, which wrapped up the series just last weekend. In the Hartley Park 10K, this was on January 24th, another very, very cold day. Mm-hmm. Actually, it was the same day as Freezer Gizzard Blizzard Run, I believe.
Okay.
Josh Tarnowski from Duluth, Minnesota, took the win with a 49 minutes, 15 seconds. And then the first place in the female category was Katka Svensson from Brooklyn Park. With a 59:58, sneaking in under an hour. And, 32 finishers in the 10K at Hartley Park. And then the finale to the Duluth Winter Trail Running Series, put on by Adventure Running Company, Andy and Kim Holak. Thanks for putting that on. Really fun. I got to do 3 out of the 4 races. I had just a blast.
Yeah.
The Frozen 4-Hour was really fun. That was last week in just perfect conditions out at Leicester Park.
Yeah, it was so warm.
Yeah. Daniel Conley, actually same runner who won the 10K at International Falls from Renshaw, took the win at the 4-Hour with 26.6 miles. And runner-up, Josh Tarnowski, who won the 10K, got 0.3 miles less, 26.3. So really tight race up there. And then first place female was third place overall, and that is Erica Olin from Duluth, 25.8 miles for Erica. Nice work out there, everyone. 56 people participated in the 4-hour. And then the 5K, which was just one loop of the loop 4-hour loop course. Mm-hmm. Jack Evans took the win there, 25:45. And then the first place in the female category, Catherine Long, won in 30 minutes and 24 seconds. 16 people did the one loop. And just quick rundown here of the Winter Trail Trail Running Series standings. Josh Tarnowski won the series. And April Laurent won on the women's side. Both had pretty commanding wins there. And, the standings for everyone are public on the website. Looks like I got third in the male category. That's nice. Cool. So, yay. So, yeah, really fun series. Just awesome way to get out for some running, I think, in the wintertime. Unless anyone out there, any of our listeners, has any races besides the one coming up, really one that we can find here in March in the Duluth area anyways, is the St. Fennessy 4K, part of the Young Athletes Foundation series of races Grandma's Marathon puts it on. That is coming up in about a month here, Saturday, March 14th, and outside of Duluth in Hermantown, Minnesota. So registration certainly appears to be open for that. Take a peek, sign up. And that is the race situation.
Mm-hmm.
Sounds like, Tony, you're on some trails today. How are the trail conditions looking around your part?
Yeah, so I ran Hartley this morning. I left a little bit later in the morning, so it was warmer. I think it was about 34 when I left at 10 a.m. And I ran to Hartley, Old Hartley Road to Root Canal to the Wet Meadow to the Pines, Fisherman, Guardrail Blowdown, Pines Tunnel Trail, Old Hartley Road. So pretty much, you know, the main loop on the south side of the pond.
Right.
And the trails were perfect.
Wow.
Absolutely perfect. Wow. I had road shoes on with screws in them.
Yeah.
And that was ideal. Trail shoe would have been absolutely fine as well.
Yeah.
You almost could have done it on a road shoe. The downhills, you might have slipped a little bit.
Sure.
But, and like uphills, you probably would have slipped too. But the trails weren't really icy.
Yeah.
And they weren't soft by any means.
Hmm.
Yeah. I saw a handful of bikers. I saw a lot of people hiking, actually.
Mm. Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
Some other runners, few runners.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
So I'm envisioning, as you talk about this, like kind of like a nice, light, tacky crust.
Mm-hmm.
Is that kind of what
that's
you,
pretty much exactly it. Yeah. So like
yeah.
The tire tracks from the fat bikes, just the depths of the knob is pretty much the only thing that you would see. It was like, so yeah. So just a loose crust over the top, but not like a slippery crust.
Right.
And that's where like trail shoes would have been perfect too. Trail shoes are shoes with screws in them or something is ideal.
I mean, we were talking before we started recording. I did not think it would be good trail conditions. And even today, I didn't go on the trails for my jog just because I thought it would be so soft because it's been so stinking warm. But now I have regrets.
Yeah. So then that's the thing. Like those snow dogs, because they compress that snow, they pack it down into a firm thing. That doesn't melt fast because it's all compressed. Like the air is kind of pushed right out of it.
Right.
And then when, yes, it's really warm, but it's not warm 24 hours a day. It's above freezing for, you know, a handful of hours. And then it refreezes at night again. And so it just, what little did melt on the surface is just refreezes again over at night anyway. So actually, in these warm conditions, the trails are great for running on, as long as it's been groomed by one of those snow dogs.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. So something like the Superior Hiking Trail through town might not have the same level of compaction.
Yep.
But then I'm thinking like my local trail here in Chester, like Lower Chester, that gets so much foot traffic that it's probably similarly compacted.
The exact same thing happens. Yeah. With if there's enough foot traffic, then that can be a good trail too.
Yeah. Huh. I got major regrets.
Go for a second run today.
Yeah. No. I mean, I went on Skyline and it was just a beautiful day on Skyline.
Yeah. That would have been a nice run.
But like, it's kind of sloppy and wet, you know, and like there's a bunch of puddles.
It reminded me of spring running, especially when I came back home and I finished my run and I was coming through the neighborhoods and there's streams, you know, running through the creeks.
Yeah.
Or through the roads.
Right.
Yeah.
But that's the thing is like, well, in like April, that's every single day and you don't have the option for the trail.
Exactly.
So to hear that it was perfect, like, oh, I got to get every second I can out there.
And another thing, and you experienced this too, it was so warm to run in. Like I knew I was overdressed and I was still overdressed.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was funny seeing some hikers and pedestrians and things and like dog walkers. Cause at the end I had a tech short sleeve and like a quarter zip long sleeve. With like the thumb holes in at the end of the sleeve, you know, I was like, that would be good. I don't need gloves. Don't really need a hat. And by the end, I had just the short sleeve on and I wore shorts and dog walkers, you know, were in still the jacket and stuff. What did you wear today?
Yeah. So I had like a loose fitting light pant over shorts. And again, I knew this was not really the right outfit, but I didn't care. I just,
I also knew
I wasn't going to be running super hard. So I thought, well, I'm going to go really easy. So maybe overdress a little bit. So, and then I had a long sleeve base layer and then a light jacket over that with a hat. And then the mistake I made, I just some light knit gloves, but then over the top of that, I wore some windproof gloves. That was completely unnecessary. So then because I ended up taking both pairs off. And now I've got gloves kind of stuffed everywhere. And
Four pairs. Funny. Nice. Well, sounds like a nice day out in Harley. I mean, just the sunshine and perfect.
It was beautiful. And I have a question for you, actually. I was thinking about this when I was out there.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, so in Harley, in the trails, you've got Fisherman and you've got Romness. And you kind of, wherever you're coming from, you always have a choice to do one or the other.
Yeah.
What do you choose?
I really like to do a loop as much as I can. And so Harley is one of my favorite long run routes because I can run in Chester, Bagley, and Harley all in the same run. I think it's just magical that it's right here in town and I pretty much don't have to even see a road or a car, you know.
Right.
So I'll like pick right away, like am I going like on the west side of Chester or the east side of Chester?
Okay.
And like that dictates what side I go up. And I want to make the whole loop.
I see.
And it's dumb, you know, it's just mm-hmm. something to fill my squishy brain while I'm just racking miles. But so if I'm going like on the far side, like let's say like a counterclockwise loop, then I'll pick, you know, the Ramness, I believe, or like the more northern one first, and then make sure I do the opposite one on the way back. Is that what you're asking? Am I thinking of the right trails?
Probably. So if you're coming, like say from Root Canal or Bagley, you're coming, then you go through the wet meadow and through the pines, and you get to the intersection where if you're coming up towards Guardrail, you have a slight left to go Fisherman, and then kind of a straightish to go to Ramness. Those two.
Yeah.
Because they end up in the exact same spot too.
Right.
So it doesn't matter what direction you come from, you always have that decision.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But it seems like I can it more of a loop if I take one way and that the other sense. The opposite way. What about you?
Well, so I don't like Fisherman. I don't like that trail at all.
Why?
It used to be called Drunken Fisherman, and I think it was more aptly named then because that trail just staggers and it doesn't have a good flow or rhythm. It's just kind of, I don't know. It just, I don't like it.
Yeah.
Especially in the summer. And they have these little rock gardens that are just annoying enough to slow you down and pick through them a little bit.
The roots.
But But now in the winter, that stuff's gone.
Mm-hmm.
Like the technicality of it is gone.
Yeah.
It still doesn't flow like Ramness to me is a way better trail. I prefer that one.
Yeah.
But in the winter, I'll run Fisherman. I'll do the same thing that you do. I'll run one way and the other one the opposite way back just to mix it up.
Yeah.
But if given the choice, I'm taking Ramness 10 times out of 10 in the summertime.
Yeah.
I'll just double up on Ramness if I do the guardrail loop.
Yeah. Funny.
Because I don't like the Fisherman trail.
Yeah. Fisherman. I swear there's a few spots where you have to do like a lateral sidestep move.
Yeah.
Like that's more efficient.
Right.
Like whoop.
Yeah. There's just no rhythm to it. And I'm sure like the mountain bike guys probably love some of the technical stuff and they can rip through it with their
maybe
bikes, I guess, you know, but that's not me. I've tried to bike on it once and that was a disaster.
Yeah, yeah.
And even running on it, I don't love it in the summer. Funny. But in the winter, it's fine. It's I can handle it in the winter.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm curious what other people think about Fisherman and Ramness and the choice that you have.
I mean, I see what you're saying, but yeah, I've never felt like I don't like this or, you know.
Probably
like,
in my younger trail days, I would have liked Fisherman a little bit more. I'm sure I ran it more often too in the summer.
Yeah.
But as I've gotten older, I'm not really into that technical stuff as much anymore.
Yeah. Interesting. what do we got next? Thoughts on the run? What were you thinking about out there, Tony?
And I brought this up in our interview portion with Cheyenne, which we recorded before this section. And so if you want to hear her answer as a triathlete, go and listen to our interview portion. But here's what I have going right now. I've got a ski race in like 3 or 4 days. We're recording this on Sunday. I'm skiing the open track Prince Haakon on Wednesday.
Yeah.
Not a big deal. 15K. I'm not as worried about the, distance or anything like that or whatever. And performance is not really on my mind, but I've got that. In May, I've got a half marathon on the roads, and then I've got big bike plans this summer. And so for me, what I struggle with is I feel like I've got a lot of different kind of multi-approaches that I have to be engaged in, and I feel like that leaves me with being lousy at three different sports. I'm never really at my present peak.
Mm.
Like when I'm on the start line of either one of those races, any of those things, I don't feel like I'm going to be like where the best I could be on that given day. Mm. When I'm lined up for that half marathon, I know I'm not going to be ready to go rock a half marathon.
Right.
And for the ski race, for sure, coming up in a handful of days, cause I haven't skied in who knows how long, but
yeah,
that's a real struggle for me. Personally, I prefer more of a singular approach where I'm just dialed in doing this one event. There's one discipline.
Yeah.
I should say, and then just plugging away day after day with that one thing. Cause then I know like, okay, I am as close to my peak as I can possibly be I'd rather be good at one thing than average at multi things.
Well,
that's my mindset.
That's kind of funny, Tony, because like this whole setup of the ski race, the run race, the bike stuff later, like that wasn't like a mistake. Like
I know.
You knew what you were doing.
100%.
Like, what were you thinking? I mean, did you have that in your mind? Like, ugh, this is kind of maybe like two different.
No, honestly, I knew that this was going to be an issue for me, like because I just know how I like to do things, and I've always just been, for the most part of my adult athletic life, first I played a lot of basketball, and then running, and I just really just kind of did the one thing, and for the longest time it was running.
Like shift gears, like now this, I'm doing this.
Yeah, like all in on the one thing.
Right, right.
And lately it's been a little bit more, slightly more multi, and if anything, the bike has kind of taken over more than the run anyway. Mm-hmm. But I did sign up for all these things, and I knew this was going to be a thing, but it is a thing for me right now. I just feel sort of like I'm just sort of treading water and not going anywhere.
Yeah,
in a way.
What like irks you about it? Like, are you like, I left training on the table, or like I could be like more fit, faster, stronger, whatever.
Yeah, all of that. Huh. Yeah, I could be better at this thing. Like, I'm going to go do the ski race, and it's going to be not very good.
Sure.
I'm going to go do that running race in May, and that's going to be, I don't even know. It's not going to be pretty.
Off. It's a long ways off.
It's a half marathon. I've got a little time, but nowhere near like time to really focus and get good months and months of good stuff in to be really good. And then the bike stuff, because I have to kind of do it, like I don't know.
Like you're feeling the tension.
Like everything takes away from something else.
Right.
Yeah. That's how I feel. And it's a little frustrating. It's hard to handle sometimes.
But I mean, isn't that life? Like training takes away from like family or personal or social time.
It does.
Like work takes away from fun time and this and that. Like,
yeah. Yeah. I'm just thinking of it from a more of a, like a selfish athletic perspective.
That, yeah.
Like, I'm not going to be at my A game in any of these things. And I'd rather at least be at my A game in at least one of them.
Sure.
And for me, the only way to get there is to be focused on the one thing. Now, I will say this. Here's a positive of it, of the multi-sport. And I'm trying to like stay here in my mind as much as I can. Is that I'm probably more well-rounded. I'm stronger. I've been in the gym a lot, and so I'm definitely stronger than I've ever been in my life. And I'm not injured because here's the single thing can leads to overtraining.
You're right.
You know, so that's you know the downside to the single thing.
I've heard. I mean, doing the podcast, like we've heard a lot of, interesting like anecdotes from people like for instance, like skiing, like supported my running in a big way. I mean, it's not like a substitute, but like, I guess, do you have one, or do you feel like it goes into the same pot to some extent, or is it like I'm missing out on this?
For me, I don't see. I hear people say that kind of thing all the time. It doesn't work that way for me.
Oh, funny.
I don't think my skiing helps my running. I think my skiing helps my skiing.
Yeah,
My running helps my running, and my biking helps my biking. And I'd rather bike a lot and be a really good biker.
Right.
That's how it works for me.
Huh.
Yeah.
I feel lucky, I guess, but like running helps everything for me. Like if I'm a really fit runner,
yes,
I can go out and smash the bike all day.
I agree. The running is the starting point, I think. Yeah, I've used this analogy before, but I think running is like playing the piano for a musician.
Yeah.
If you can play the piano, you can pick up other instruments a little bit quicker.
Yeah.
Because you're playing both the bass and the treble clef.
Right.
And you're learning all of that. And I think running is a similar idea.
Yeah.
Because of the aerobic conditioning.
Do you like the idea of totally switching gears? Like, all right, the half marathon's done. Like, now it's onto the bike.
I'm actually really looking forward to the half marathon being done.
Yeah.
Because the skiing obviously will be done. It's going to be done after Wednesday.
Right.
And then I will have to run a little bit more to be as prepared as I possibly can be in 3 months of running for the marathon, or the half. But once that half is over, it's all bike all the time for sure.
Huh.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'd be curious what some of our other listeners, mean, you can listen to what Cheyenne has to say as a triathlete, but especially as a running focus, because you know, I feel like, you know, not a lot of serious runners do actually run all throughout the year. You know, they're doing different things, and I don't know. I definitely do. We both do a lot of different things besides just running, despite having a very running specific podcast.
Right.
So, yeah. Well, we'll have to follow up in
those
late
are my
May.
Thoughts. Yeah, exactly. We'll see. We'll see how the half goes.
Yeah.
And how the training is going up, I guess, up until then. Yeah.
Yeah. Next segment that we have here is what I'm into. What have you been into lately, Tony?
Well, probably like a lot of our listeners, been watching the Olympics. Have you been watching?
Yeah, yeah. A little bit. Yeah.
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 What sports or things are you focusing on?
I haven't really focused on anything, I guess. Just if it's on or flicking through channels at the end of the day. I watched the Duluthian curling team.
Yep.
Which silver medal, that was kind of, which it's all so fast. Curling's like so slow and so fast at the same time. Like,
yeah.
Can you speed this up or like what's going on? I just don't know the rules very well.
I don't
and then
either.
Like, wait, it's over? Like what yeah. happened?
You right.
know? It's like, it's already over. Well, I'll just take their word for it. That
yeah, I know. That's how I feel.
Or whatever, you know?
Like, oh, okay. I guess you they know? Got points for this. I don't know. I don't get the rules either at all. I don't mind watching it.
Yeah,
but it was really interesting. We were watching that in the school, and they had it playing in the lunchroom.
Okay,
on a TV screen that they have in the lunchroom.
Yeah,
and the U.S. would make a good throw, and like the kids, they knew, like they were all cheering. I'm like, wow, these middle school kids, like,
huh?
They get it. Like
they follow.
I'm
curling.
Sure they all curl too, and
really,
parents would curl. That's my guess because they were like, yeah, it was really cool. Like the whole lunchroom would just erupt.
Yeah,
yeah.
Huh. It's funny, like. There could probably be a Duluth specific curling podcast. Maybe there is. We don't even know.
There
about
might
it,
be. Yeah.
Like, there's that many like top tier world talents here in Duluth.
Yeah.
Crazy.
I know. Well, there are.
A little bit of snowboarding. That's always fun to watch too. What about you?
Mostly the Nordic skiing. I mean, here's a little dark. Well, I don't know if this is a dark secret, but I always cheer for Norway in the Winter Olympics.
That's okay.
Ever since I was a kid, I've cheered for Norway.
Oh, really?
Because it's part of our family, my family, and just, I don't know, for whatever reason, it's like meant more to me. Like, Norway is like the population size of Minnesota. So it would be like if Minnesota sent a team, like
versus the
entire U.S. Like, it's a smaller population base, but yet they compete with everybody on the world, and in fact pretty much are the best in the world in the Winter Olympics, and I just think that's really cool.
Yeah,
and it means so much to them too.
Right.
Yeah. So,
and are they doing pretty well?
Yeah. You know, yeah. Nice. Yeah.
Per usual.
Oh yeah. They're doing really well. They're doing really well. I mean, Klebo today, just Johannes Klebo won his 9th or 10th gold medal, so he's now the winningest Winter Olympic athlete of all time.
Wow.
Yeah.
And that's a skier?
Yeah, he's a skier, and he's got at least 2 more races, I think, 2 or 3.
Wow.
So, yeah.
Crazy.
Yeah, so that was kind of cool.
Norwegian VO2 max project, huh?
Yeah, those guys are beasts. Just all those skiers and the girls. Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
Those are some fit athletes. It's impressive.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, you can't. That's not a mistake.
Yeah.
People. Our last segment here is some shout outs. We had an email come in and, I wanted to shout out Michael Coppy, as well, but Michael was kind enough to send in just a couple stats from his, record breaking Arrowhead 135 performance. He finished at 75 years old, first runner over 70 in the 23 years of the race, and he was the oldest person to finish any discipline, so ski, bike, or run. So if you want to hear Michael's story, he is a past Duluth Rundown interview subject, and a really awesome interview to just hear how, you know, as a, you know, 70-plus-year-old athlete, how he's still doing these just absolutely incredible feats of endurance. And there's a lot of
additional, besides the Duluth Rundown, additional press coverage of Michael. I think he was in the Star Trib and some others.
And I think Northern News Now, I think there was a, I think it was those guys that did a story on him. So yeah, congrats to Michael. That was awesome.
Yeah, really cool. Was
definitely dot watching that that take place.
Yeah.
And then I have one more shout out too, real quick, to all the local Nordic skiers who just finished up their season. Just, you know, just like a weekish ago. State meet was just a handful of days ago. So shout out to all those kids as they finished up, and now a lot of them will get ready for track here in a couple of weeks.
Right on to the next.
Yep.
Snow's melting.
Yeah. Hopefully off the track.
Yeah. Well, that's all that we got for episode 90 of the Duluth Rundown. Anything else before we get to our interview here, Tony?
No.
All right, let's get to it.